Some people that would be saving lives, though.
Yeah.
Saving lives. But we do. Ministry, save lives. Nope, Jesus does.
Jesus does. That's right.
We're mere vessels.
Yeah. Mere vessels.
Mere vessels.
Jesus saves.
Jesus.
All right, we ready to do this thing?
We ready.
Kicking this off.
Turn or burn.
Kicking it off?
Yeah.
Kick us off, Nate.
Welcome back to the message. I was looking at it. That's funny. Message recap, right?
Yeah.
Podcast. Welcome back to the weekly message recap podcast. I am not your host, Nate Popejoy, the student director.
Just Nate.
And introduce yourselves.
That's it. You know, Brad Livingston, lead pastor.
Yeah, Rick Rodriguez. I don't even know what my title is.
We go back and forth on this all the time.
Yeah, like Connect pastor, Mexican pastor, Hispanic pastor. I don't.
You can't
don't
be
know.
That because you don't speak Spanish.
Okay, that's
so
true.
So we're not going to let
that's
you.
True.
Be
okay,
an
that's
Mexican
true.
Pastor.
That's a fake Mexican guy.
Yeah. The last thing we need is like an influx of people being like, and speaking Spanish. See, I didn't even try. I was like,
no. Yeah. Listen, and I can't tell you how many people approach me on a Sunday asking me, "Do I speak Spanish?" And I'm like, "No, guys, I'm sorry, I'm not. I can't."
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get out my Google Translate. Rick is, you're just like another executive pastor.
Okay.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
We're figuring this out on the podcast right now.
Tell us what you think it should be.
Yeah, that's great. Drop it in the comments. What do you think Rick's title should be? And don't get out of pocket. I know how you guys can be out there. Yeah. So
I'm already like the shortest pastor, the oldest pastor, the grayest hair pastor, whatever. That's even a word.
You're the pastor of tacos.
Ooh, I love some tacos El Fluffy, guys. Is so fantastic. Good. So
sponsor us.
That'd be
That's
crazy.
Your boy. Call him.
Yeah. Let's call Gio.
Call Gio. Tell him to get us some tacos to eat on the podcast.
Oh, he will.
I know he will.
And so, all right.
We can do like a 30 second.
We're going to do that next week.
30 second commercial in between, like in the middle of it. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Gio next week. This week. Yeah. I'm going to get some tacos next week. So,
there you go.
Sponsored
by Tacos El Fluffy.
Sponsored.
Listen, all you really got to do to sponsor this podcast is buy us lunch.
That's really it.
That'd be
not
amazing.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, we'll come record at your establishment.
Oh,
for food. I mean,
hey, why not?
Call Gio. Tell him we're going to record the podcast at Taco Bell.
At Taco Bell Fluffy.
Problem is, that would take up the whole restaurant.
That's true.
It's so small. But, that would be dope. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We're going to do something.
Oh, I'm bringing Tacos of Fluffy next week. So
all right, bet.
Definitely. So, and then we have Kyle here on the podcast.
Kyle.
Always
can't be seen or heard, but he's behind the... I'll set up a mic eventually. He says he'll set up a mic eventually. He had one a couple times, and then he deprioritizes himself so he can prioritize us, and we're grateful for it.
Such an amazing guy.
Typical production director.
Yeah.
So makes everyone else look and sound great and takes a back seat.
Yeah, so, such a good dude.
Such a good dude.
Amazing guy.
Such a good dude.
So
yeah, we're out here, man. We had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was awesome.
What did we have? Like 1,200 people on campus?
Yeah, like 1,207, I think.
Oh, my
On campus
goodness.
Sunday. And wild. I think it solidified our game plan for Easter.
Yeah.
Four services for Easter.
Four services.
So.
Quattro.
And what are the time frames again for our Easter services?
8 a.m., 9:30, 11, and 12:30.
Woo! All right.
So, yep.
Let's
so
do
four
it.
Services, baby. It's
going to
be
services.
Dope. It's just a trial run for the fall. That's all it really is. So, it's going to be good. And here's the deal. While we're talking about it, Easter is coming up, and we're going to talk about last Sunday, and we're going to talk about first Wednesday and all that stuff. But Easter is coming up. And I want to create a challenge right now. And I'm living up to the challenge myself.
Okay.
I want us to have more unsaved people in the building than we've ever had.
That's a good challenge.
Like, I want every person that calls TC home to have at least two people here that are not churched and not saved. I mean, like, a lot of times we'll bring, like, churched people and then I just come from another church and it's like, that's cool and all. But like the message on Easter, like the whole experience is gonna be so good. Our worship team's putting some stuff together. I think it's just gonna communicate such a powerful message. And I'm really excited about it. And so I got one I'm already talking to. My goal is 10 personally. So my goal is to have 10 people coming. So not to flex on y'all, but y'all better step y'all's games up. Those out there, man, what if April's baptism was like, what if there were so many people we had to do it outside?
Oh,
like,
man.
Between that'd services. Be cool. Like, oh, that yeah, would be cool. Insane. You that'd know what I mean?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I'm just issuing the challenge.
So at least one unsaved person.
Two. Make it two.
Okay.
Two.
One will be my unsaved people. So Nate's one of mine. He's church, but he's not saved. So
doesn't even know Jesus.
At all. So
It's gonna be good. We're excited about Easter. It's gonna be dope. We got the Easter egg hunt coming up.
Yep.
You can go to mytc.life. And you can already register. You can register to serve at the Easter egg hunt.
Absolutely.
So go do that. And then we've got the Easter services for on that Sunday. It's going to be good, too, because like we said, four services is coming just in general.
Right.
But we're going to need all four on Easter.
Yeah, because we are just packed out between all three services, especially this last Sunday. And then walking through the lobby in itself is just almost like mad chaos. But the energy is so high, you don't even feel like you're that claustrophobic. Like, you don't even feel like it's that crowded
because
people are laughing, cutting up, giving high fives, smiling, hugging each other. And so
it feels like, literally it feels like the lobby before a concert vibe.
Yeah.
It's just like electric, like anticipatory. And then you're seeing family and friends, and it's such a great environment it's a culture that we worked hard to build, we work hard to protect, and we love it. I mean, I love our church, you know. So when people come to it, they're like, what is going on here? I'm like, this is us.
This is who we are.
This is what we do. So
I was going in between services between 8:30 and 10, and there was a line of people waiting to get into the auditorium because people were coming out. I just made the joke, and I was like, it feels like all of us trying to get on a ride at Disneyland. And everybody like, that's what it feels like. And it's the same thing. And I was like, oh my God, I was just kidding. But okay, let's go for it. So
it is super cool, man. The message went a little long on Sunday. I knew it was. And the message didn't go super long, but it was like the prayer part. Like there was a little more to it. But I appreciate my wife, which is always super dope. And it was great. But it was so it made it even more claustrophobic
because
we didn't have 25 minutes or 20 minutes between services. We had like 10 to 12.
Right.
And that just kind of made it worse. I told Crystal ahead of time, I was like, just so you know, it's probably going to be a little crazy today. She was like, I'm going home early. So I was like, oh, okay. But it was a good time. Got to preach with my bride. We talked about marriage.
Come on.
She changed the world.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley's...
I can't believe she doesn't want to do it more than once a year.
Because
she does phenomenal.
I know. And I tell her that every time, and she does not believe. It's really, I don't think that she doesn't think she has something to offer. She's just so uncomfortable being in the spotlight and on the stage. And she's like, I hate it. I think she probably asked me like five times. She's like, can I bow out? Like, do we have to do it? And I'm like, we don't have to do anything, but you should do it. Like, you have so much to say. And case in point on Sunday. So what was interesting about Sunday is we practiced the sermon just like I practiced in the other sermon.
Yep.
So we walked through, we knew our points, we knew what we were saying going into it. But the one thing she did not rehearse was that story about her building that wall up with God. Hmm. So at the 8:30 service, I was hearing it for the first time also. Wow. Like I know it, but she's never shared it like that.
Right.
Ever. I mean, me and her have never even had the conversation fully. Like, so we've experienced different parts of that conversation over time, but that's the first time she's ever sat down and just said it.
Yeah.
And when we planned it, I was like, I told her, I was like, you're going to change lives. When you say this, because there are so many people that think they're alone or think that like, I should be more spiritual, or if I'm thinking this way, then God's mad at me, or my faith isn't enough, or whatever, like whatever hogwash we were raised on, like the name it and claim it gospel or whatever. So, I told her ahead of time, I was like, when you share, I just knew like walls are going to come down. People are going to be impacted in a way that none of my sermons have ever impacted them.
Right.
And it was.
All I know is this, I'm sitting over there, Ash starts to cry. So then I start to cry. Then Tiffany looks at me, and then she starts to cry. Whew. And I'm like, are you crying? She goes, are you crying? I go, of course I'm crying.
Of course
I'm crying. Yeah. And so then, but what you didn't see was the conversation between myself, Tiffany, and Pastor Justin on who should bring up the tissue. And I was like, Tiff, you go because you're a female and look good. She goes, no, you're one of the pastors. I said, yeah, Pastor Justin, you go. I'm not going. I go, guys, they're crying on stage. We need to do something. And I was like, I just can't just sneak up on stage at all, trying to tiptoe. Yeah. And so, but I mean, as I looked around the room, there really wasn't a dry eye in the entire auditorium.
Yeah.
And what's so neat is that my 4 o'clock meeting yesterday at Coffee Guy, that was one of the first things that he said about the sermon. He said yesterday was so good because I got a chance and our church got a chance to see, and he called it our first lady, but our pastor's wife,
yeah,
in that element that she didn't have it all together, and it's okay if we don't either.
Yeah.
And so even to the point to where now this person who has been coming to our church has now, as of this Sunday, started serving on a team. He asked me to put him on a team.
Wow.
And he goes, based off of January and this last sermon with Pastor Ashley, with Miss Ashley and Pastor Brad, is I realize Pastor that Ashley. It's my term. Yeah, Pastor Ashley, that's what we got to. Yeah. But he goes, this is my home church. Wow. And this is where I know I need to be. But the fact that she was so vulnerable with us let me know that it was okay, just in my own weakness, in my own spot. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. It was just life-changing that day. So.
No, she did it, man. We had there was one lady, she came to me after the service. She was like, I'm glad one of your staff members walked up there with a tissue box, because if they didn't, I was coming up there with a tissue box. But no, it's real, man. And I told, it's like I told Ashley that. And there's certain things, as communicators, we know, we've learned, and I taught Nate this, and we teach all of our communicators this, and coming up, I'm sure you heard this, where it's like, people receive your strength, but they resonate in your weakness.
Right.
Because they can see themselves in it. Because like, if you're willing to be vulnerable and expose the areas that you're weak, that is where people resonate with you, because they're like, that I can resonate with. No one resonates with Superman.
Right.
Because you can't resonate with him. It's the reason, it's like, not to get nerdy, but it's like, it's the reason why everyone loves Batman, because he's just a dude that's broken and wants to fix stuff. Like, he wants to fix society or whatever.
And he's rich too, though.
Well, that part too. So. Yeah. But it's like, he doesn't have superhuman powers.
Right.
So he's
just a normal guy.
You can love him because he's obtainable, and it's in his brokenness that he's operating out of to do great things, and people are drawn to that. So it's like, Superman's cool, but you're not drawn to that. Like, you are the idea of someone just being human.
Right.
And it's the same thing when we communicate. It's like, to pretend that we never have problems, we never get sick, we never have fear, we never have insecurities, we don't go through doubt, to pretend all those things and just constantly champion the faith movement, it doesn't inspire people nearly to the degree that standing up and going, yeah, I don't have that together, or I that season of my life. I mean, she told 8 years of her life. She's 36 years old. 8 years of her life she spent disconnected from God as a pastor's wife in ministry.
Right.
And like, you know what I mean? So that's, I knew going in, and I told her over and over again. And when we went backstage, after the first service, I just hugged her, and she was, crying. And I was just like, you changed lives today.
Yeah.
Like, you literally changed lives today. And she was like, you think people are going to see me differently? And I was like, absolutely. And I was like, but not the way you think.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Not like, are they going to see me as a bad pastor? I was like, no, they're going to see you differently, but it's not going to be that way. It's going to be, this woman is amazing, and I want that kind of faith, and I want that, So.
And it was almost like, as she started telling her story and where she's been, it was almost like you can just sense this breath of exhale, like, it's okay. Like, it is okay for me to feel the way that I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
It is okay that I have struggled with my faith. It is okay that that I have struggled with God at times, you know? And so, and it was just almost her speaking. And I told her later on that day, I shot her a text, and I just thanked her for her vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I reminded her of a statement that I tried to live by, was that your battlefield will become somebody else's victory field. Mm. And I said, the things that you express today, your battlefield, there's going to be people in our auditorium that are going to find victory because of your battlefield. And so I just want to thank you for that. But you almost sensed that in the room. People were just like, oh, I can, this is okay. If she struggled with this, then I have permission now to struggle. And so it was just, it was a beautiful day.
Well, because you can't get through anything until you deal with it.
Yeah.
You can't identify it until you name it. And it's like those types of things. So it's like, once you give yourself permission to lean into the struggle, like once you know, it's like, it's why I hate the name it and claim it thing, you know, prosperity stuff, because the antithesis to it is like, when you're sick, you can't say you're sick.
Right.
Otherwise you are sick. Like, you can't say you're, you know, broke when you, it was like, yeah, but there's no money in my bank account.
Right.
I am broke. Like, I have no money. You know, it's like, or the doctor's like, you have cancer. And it's like, I'm not saying I have cancer. And it's like, you think that's going to, that, no, that's not how that works. But to say that you have it, so that then you can name what you're praying for,
right,
and B, you know, lean into what the doctors are going to tell you, is like, that's the first step to progress.
Right.
And that was what we, you know, Ashley and I constantly had these conversations about, like, you got to lean in, you know, like, lean into God, but don't be afraid of telling him how you feel. You know what I mean? And we've had some choice words for God. You know what I mean? We've had some conversations on the back porch, me and the Lord and her and the Lord. And it's like, you know, and I love the fact that God's a big boy and can handle it. I love the fact that he's not caught off guard by our emotions. I love the fact that God embraces us when we are the most honest with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I love the fact that there's not anything I've said out of my mouth that shocked God, because he already knew it was in my heart.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, so I love that God pulls us close. In the moments that we fear God is going to push us away, he brings us close. The only time we are far from God is when we push God away, and we refuse to, like, be close to him. And I think, shame is one of the great reasons that happens, you know? And so that was one of the things, just throughout the whole journey, I've constantly tried to encourage Ashley. It's like, I'm not going to tell you not to feel any sort of way at all.
You know?
I just want to tell you, as you feel it, just take it, you know, continue to take it to the Lord, continue to let him have that. And if it's anger today, then let him have it. If it's sadness, let him have it. If it's happiness, let him have it, you know? And that was the constant journey for, you know, 8 years.
It's wild.
It's crazy to think about.
It's wild.
But yeah, that was reality. So she killed it. She did a great job. You know, she was like,
I just liked it because you were up there. And I'm like,
they hear me every Sunday. Trust me. That's, you know, it's not it. But
nah, she did fantastic.
Yeah, that's just not her. It's not her favorite thing. She's like, put me back with the coffee again. That's where she wants to be. She's put me in the culture shop and I can sell sweaters. So it was a good day, man.
It was. My only issue was Sunday. I felt like you were talking directly towards me on something. Because what's funny is that when you talked about husbands being vulnerable to your spouse, and the idea that when you wear your armor home, then you'll cut the ones that you love.
Yeah.
And so you and I just had that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a rebuke, but it was just a discipleship moment from you to myself. And you did that. So Tiffany looks at me and she goes, you've heard that a couple of times, haven't you? I said, yes, I have. Yeah, I have.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. And I told the guy yesterday that I was just talking to, I said, what you got yesterday was the talk that I received from my pastor just about 3 weeks before that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ability of, as a husband, it is okay to be vulnerable to my wife, that she needs to see that from me.
Yeah.
And I said, and I always thought, you know, for the longest time, I would have to be this strong Superman guy that my wife can't see these certain things. But I was doing a disservice to my wife in those moments, that I'm not allowing her in the deepest parts and the hurtful parts of my life. And So yeah, it was just, again, it was just another great reminder, because there's times where even after all talk, I'm like, I mean, Pastor Brad's right, but Rick, you know, you can really just kind of hold back some. But what's fun is that Tiff and I, over about 2 weeks ago, had just another great moment at the kitchen table. The kids were gone, and Tiffany said, hey, this sermon today was very convicting. And I'm like, wait, you're like Jesus' little sister. Let's dive into this a little bit more.
Yeah, let's dissect this.
Yeah, and then she expressed, then I expressed. And so the kids are gone, and we're having this beautiful moment of, this is what God's convicting us of, and this is where I fail as a husband, this is where I fail as a wife, and so let's begin to have this conversation. So it was just a good, again, reiteration of our talk 3 weeks ago, that we, as men, we have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's something, and I don't know about you guys, but that's the thing I hate to be, especially with people and even with my spouse.
Sure.
And so, but
yeah,
it was good.
No, I'm the same way. Yeah. I'm not Nate, but
yeah, yeah. No, I mean, something that I was going to say, speaking from Gen Z kind of perspective, is that people in their 30s, people in their 40s and 50s, like, they need to model that vulnerability for Gen Z leaders coming up, because we want to know that you hop in your sweatpants when you get home and eat cereal and watch movies with your family. We don't want to think that you're Superman, because we want to know that who you really are, so that we can learn to be vulnerable. We know that you're real, and that's kind of like the space that we're coming up in, because I think it's no longer like trying to have that celebrity pop culture to where, like, there's nothing wrong with us. Like, like, we live a life of pureness and all this stuff, and it's like, no, I go home with my family. I'm real. I have fights with my kids. I have, you know, arguments with my wife. I'm vulnerable too. Like, we need to see that, and I think y'all model that well, but Ashley modeled that on stage, and I think that's what's so powerful in that. And I mean, I definitely need to work on it as well, because I don't like to be vulnerable as much. But I think that's especially the younger generation that's coming up, is like, we want to see real and what is real. And because we know what's fake.
Right.
Yeah.
We know what's fake.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, and like, not setting the tone of unmanageable or unrealistic expectations. You know, it's like, I think that's what we all grew up with, is like unrealistic expectations. You know, it's like, you can't be weak, you can't be this, you can't be this. And it's like, you just know in the back of your mind, like, that's impossible.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, and so it's like, you can't be weak. So the problem is, the generation before us wasn't weak, but what they didn't realize is every time they lost their temper in anger, it exposed their weakness. Yeah. So it's like, you're being weak. I can see that you're weak, but you're just covering it up with rage.
Right.
So I still know that you're weak. It's just that you're pretending that it's a strength by trying to intimidate and scare. But it's like, it's real. You know, when someone tries to intimidate someone else, it's out of fear. You know, they just use it as manipulation to control somebody. So it's like, so when you get old enough, you go, oh yeah, no, that dude was terrified.
Yeah.
He just shadowed it or masked it with strength or intimidation to manipulate, so that he didn't have to face his fears with his wife or the coworker or his boss or whatever, right? So it's like, once you understand that, you're like, oh, this makes perfect sense. So everyone's dealing with fear. So for us, it's the same thing. It's like, we want to show the next generation. You know, so I'm preaching on this, you know, literally I was working on my notes this morning for the message this Sunday. And what a part of the message for this Sunday is destroying the generational loop, where it's like, we keep replicating in our kids the thing that we never wanted in ourselves.
Wow.
And so, like, that's part of what we're dealing with on Sunday. And part of it is that, where it's like, you know, we have to create space to make the changes that our parents weren't willing to make, so that our kids don't become the broken versions of us, right? And so that's coming this Sunday. So it's going to be a good time.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
But as a reality, and you're right, you know, the young people need to see it. That's what I love. You know, it's like, I love the guys in our church, you know, the Leonards and the Mark Scanlins and Pastor Nan, and like these guys that are just, you know, that are older than us, a generation before us or two. And you know, they're so honest and vulnerable with their emotions.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh,
like, Leonard comes up to me every Sunday, tears in his eyes, you know, and he's just like, thanking me. And we talk about the sermon, and we talk about life change. And it's like, that is a beautiful, like, he's strong. He prays for his wife. He leads other men. He makes disciples. He serves. He gives. Like, he does all those things, but he's not weak, but he's meek. He has an understanding of his own emotions. He's not afraid to show them in the right settings. Like, and that is what we need to see more men doing. So, you know, that was a big one. Ashley and I worked on that particular thought for like weeks, you know, and it was a thought that I had and we worked through it and trying to figure out and as we were working through it, and it was probably about the time me and you talked about it, you know, it's like this idea that, like, how often my wife is getting cut by the armor she's making me keep on. And that was what we challenged the wives. Like, you probably have more control over your husband's tenderness than you think, if you'll be willing to help him take the armor off rather than giving him another reason to keep it on. Yeah. You know, and we weren't the best at that, you know, early on. But Ashley and I've never been. We've never had a fighting marriage. There's just never had drama. We've known each other since third grade. Like, You know what I mean? Like, if we were gonna have problems in our marriage, we were gonna have it way before we got married. We've known each other right. way too long. But, yeah. But as we counsel other couples and as we sit down and we talk to other couples, you know, and I know you see parents and we see, you know, individuals that are married and stuff like that. It's like that's one of the things I'm constantly talking to them about. It's like, you know, telling the wife, like, you have more control over this than you think you do. So the men, you have to be vulnerable. But ladies, you have to cultivate an environment of vulnerability. You know, and you can actually experience his tenderness if you'll cultivate an environment of vulnerability where he feels comfortable doing that. But, you know, like somebody has to go first.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times I think couples are just looking at each other like, who's gonna be the first one to go, you know? But, yeah, so.
I love that. Tiff and I, we try to come up with a competition now to where it's the first person, number one, to apologize. Like that's always been since we've been married. Like, hey, we want to be the first one to apologize.
Yeah.
But now even sitting here thinking as a husband, I should probably make the same competition as far as from myself to be the first one to be vulnerable and in those weak spots, not just wait for her to engage in it because she will. But at the same time for me, I need to say, hey, for now on our healthy competition is I will be the first to be vulnerable in my feelings and my emotions. Yeah. And so then that helps create a healthy space for both of us to do the same. So.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I think the reality is, and I feel like you and Leah are probably this way too, but I know you guys are where it's like, you know, at least from a personality perspective, Tiff is more rigid than you are.
100%.
Like, so she had exposing your vulnerability to a person, the way I would communicate it is from the outside looking in, if you didn't know Tiff, you would think that she feels less than you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because that's not her demeanor constantly is to show her feelings or to, you know, be empathetic in that way. So I know there's a lot of other wives that are out there that are like that, you know, that could be listening or watching right now, and it's the same thing. But and I don't know, would you say you're more the feeler than Leah? Or
no
Leah, she is? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nate doesn't have emotions. So yeah.
Hey, I play golf with Nate. He's got emotions. but all that to say is, you know, Ashley is definitely more the feeler between the two of us, but she's also introverted. So she has the feelings, but she processes them internally. So she doesn't expose them as much. But all that to say is, you know, one of the things I challenge women with and wives with, who are mothers or who will be mothers, or who, even if you're not, but you can understand this, because a lot of times women will come to us and they're like, but that's not who I am.
Right.
I'm not soft. I'm not tender. I'm not those things. And I'm like, I hear you, but it's in you because God made you.
Right.
And when he made you, even if you don't have your children, you have the ability to take a step back from the way you would default in your own mind and process nurturing, because it's in you, in how you raise your children or whatever. And if it's not, then you need to start channeling it for the sake of the children you will raise. But even like, you know, we joke around about Justin all the time. Now, Justin has no emotions, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, you know, but the Justin's also, like, oddly enough, is the stinking baby whisperer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like every kid in the church loves
him.
Justin.
Loves,
you know, like
him. The hold baby, his like, hand, walk, on, yeah,
literally,
walk him around.
Like, if you see Justin at any given time on a Sunday, he's holding somebody's kid, Kyle's kid, Anna's kid. He's just holding kids. And it's like, you can see, like, no, Justin has a fathering, nurturing component to him that underneath all the jokes and all the, you know, all that stuff is he actually does have this nurturing fatherhood component to him that that God has put in him. And it's the same way for the women who may be more, you know, analytical than emotional or whatever, all those things.
Yeah.
So you have it in you. You do have to just channel. You'd have to be intentional. And so you have it in you for your kids, your nieces and nephews or your whatever. So you just have to be intentional. And that was one thing we pulled out of the sermon for Sunday just because of time. It was like, you have this in you for your kids. And it's a shame that so many husbands have to watch their wives be great mothers but terrible wives. Because they'll be for their kids what they won't be for their husbands.
Right.
And it's like that. The travesty when how you love your husband should be the example to your kids of what they should be looking for in their marriage.
Right.
So, but anyways, that's a different
that's day.
That'll be a different day. So yeah. So other than that, so Sunday was good. This coming up Sunday is the last week of Sushi, Sex, and Subtitles.
Ooh
man, round six next year.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
What do we do? I think we're gonna have to start calling it like just naming it after the year. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna be around 37 or something. So like, yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, no. I mean, it's you know, there will be a relationship series. I, you know, every time I go to change it, John's like, don't change it. And I'm like, all right. And then we'll tell someone else, like, I'm thinking about changing it. They're like, no. But I think it gets the most views on YouTube as well. It's a pretty, what's the word I'm looking at? Provocative title. So naturally, I think people are drawn to it. So
look, the week that I had the flu and I had to stay at home, Will and I watched online. And it was a sex talk, right? The topic. And so I remember I'm sitting there watching with Will, and Will just looks at me. He goes, we're talking about that? And I go, yeah, bro. He goes, okay. Like, his face, he just goes, I can't believe we're talking about this like in front of everybody. When you're like, it's provocative, it is, but it's something that needs to be, these types of things need to be addressed in the church, talked about in the church, you know? And so
you ain't talking about it, the world's talking about it. So you either get it from here or the world.
That's the whole thing. It's like, especially like in series past, we've dismissed the teenagers for the sex talk.
Yeah.
Like we like had them go with the students and student ministry was ready and they facilitated them in a lobby or something. I think we're at AMC, so they were like in a different theater. But, you know, now as I was looking at it, hey, we didn't get like crazy. You know, we weren't talking about
it.
So that was part of it. But B, it was just like, bro, these kids are having way worse conversations than this in the hallways of their school. They need to be part of this conversation. You know, me and my dad joked, we were like, you know, we're gonna see who comes back next week. You know, so when everyone showed up this week, I was like, praise God, look at
praise
y'all.
God.
Yeah.
Look at God.
But it was, it's like a necessary word. It's not like, and like I said, the way we communicated it 2 weeks ago, the sex talk was like, we tried to take as healthy of an approach as possible. Right. I was actually shocked at how that one turned out. I usually know start to finish exactly how a message is going to go. And I know when I end the tone of the message, like I know it ahead of time and I know how people are going to respond to it. And that was one of the few in all of my preaching that I was dumbfounded by how it ended. Because it's like, I was prepared for it to be an awkward / funny sermon. Like that was what I was prepared for. So it was like, okay, this is going to like, we're going to kind of, we'll joke some, it'll be a little bit awkward, but we'll bring it home and help people understand biblical sex. Like that was it. So when people were running to the altars to get prayer afterwards, I was like, I did not.
That's another.
I didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That's another testament for how real people want it to be anymore. Like, because we have a pretty young church, so they want to hear that. They want to hear provocative topics that they've heard so much distortion in their lives up to this point that they can hear. And it's like, I'm just on that real thing. It's like, that's another testament to what, you know, is already happening. People are running to the altar because they hear a real talk that has been so distorted in this world that you talked about in a real sense. And it's like,
No, thank you.
And here's a crazy number. 12 people got saved from the sex talk. So I was just still blown away.
Yeah, I walked into the lobby and there was like literally 4 people on the couches crying. Yes. There were people sitting against the wall crying.
And Pastor Dan had folks holding up.
They had a whole small group going. Like, and I was like, at one point I looked over and so I was like, are they crying from the sermon? They're like, oh yeah, they came out right at the end bawling their eyes out. And I was like, I just didn't see that coming, you know?
Right.
So, but no, man, it was good. And then this past Sunday was great. And so excited for this next one. This one is kind of, this next sermon for Sunday is kind of setting the tone for the future. It's like changing the generational legacy is what we're calling it. Yeah. But, it's going to be good. I'm excited.
Man, I'm excited. I'm pumped for that.
Yeah. So, but we got some other stuff popping around here too. We got First Wednesday. Yeah,
First Wednesday coming up.
Tomorrow night.
By the time you listen to this and watch it, it may be tonight.
It might be.
If you're watching this on Wednesday, it's tonight.
Or if you're watching it on Thursday, you missed it.
You missed it. Sorry.
Yeah, it was last night.
But we got First Wednesday.
We gonna get farther than 4 verses
this
time.
Dude, that was wild, bro. I cannot believe that. But so good. Yes. If you weren't at the First Wednesday this past month in February, we broke the mold. You know, we've been doing a chapter at a time for 2.5 years, I think. We did Acts, we did all of Romans, we did part of Acts, we did all of Romans, now we're in Matthew, and we were holding steady, so we got to Matthew 4, and the Beatitudes messed us up, man.
Yeah.
So we were, so now we're moving slow through Matthew 4, and we'll see what happens. You know, we just want to honor the text, so... you know, maybe we'll get 4 or 5 verses in. Who knows? But it was good. We got great feedback from it. So got that going on first Wednesday. Excited for that.
Yep.
We got Motion Night.
Motion Night coming around again.
Let's go.
Motion Night. Yeah. We had 3 churches, 120 students, which is pretty cool.
Come on. That's awesome.
And some people outside of like even our state, you know, said some things about it. Like they've been seeing on social media. And
come
it's
on,
like,
dude.
That is so cool what y'all are doing and like bringing churches. Cause it's like people look at it as like a yearly youth conference that they bring other churches together. It's like, what happens if you do that once a month?
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
We live in the same area, experience the same thing. So, like, why not do it once a month? And the fact that we have that you said yes, and now we have the ability to kind of put that on for churches that might not have that and equip them the rest of the month on what they might not have, because not everybody has the luxury to be a have a full time student director or youth pastor or whatever. So we're just graced with the ability to do that. So how can we equip them? And it's just that's just been so cool seeing the fruit from that. And we did it one time, so it's only the beginning.
Of what guys so this will be our second one. But and shout out to you, Nate.
Yeah, absolutely.
We make fun of you a lot, but no, you Nate's doing a good job, and you're doing a good job, man. And shout out to your team.
Yeah,
you know, we don't do anything at TC without shouting out our teams, because they're the ones that carry the vision for us. And you know, your team executed well. They did a great job. Super excited for how that's going. and you're right. You know, I think I love your heart, and I love the heart of our team and our staff. You know, it's like, not only do we want to take on the resources and the energy and the time and the effort for this event because we believe in the next generation, or what I would say this generation.
Yeah.
Not only is that important to us, but you're also resourcing other churches who don't have full-time youth pastors, don't have full-time student directors with curriculum that they can use. So it's like you're resourcing other churches outside of just that event so that they can be making disciples and carrying that culture. And that's just super strong, man. So I'm proud of you, you know. So,
and that's for me, that's my favorite thing outside of the whole thing that you put on. Like, I love the idea of Motion Night, and I love the energy, because you just bring it. You bring the energy. You are the TC culture around here, right? So and I love all that.
Thank you.
And I love the excitement. But for me, being out of, and I would say the same thing for you, coming out of being youth pastors, you resourcing other youth pastors, because now we're saying, this isn't just all about TC, come to us. We want to take kids and we want to take people from other churches. That's not it.
Yeah.
No, we want to resource people. We want to resource you to be the best leader that you can be. So if you're doing this and you work full time, then we want to be able to resource you so that you can still make disciples.
Yeah.
And out of the whole thing that you do for Motion Night, that's really my favorite thing about it.
I love it. Well, that's so good.
It's great.
So, yeah, so good. So yeah, it's coming up. That's on March
13th. March 13th.
Let's go.
I'm excited for it.
Let's go. It's going to be awesome, man. Yeah. So, and then we'll jump into, we got a kind of a little mini series coming on Sundays after that, which will be just prepping for Easter. Okay. So going to be dope. And just some cool things happen. I'll be preaching at a, what church am I getting? New.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. Hope? No.
Nope. That's terrible.
New Missionary Baptist.
Nope. I think it's New Testament Fellowship.
New Testament Fellowship.
No, it's not New Testament Fellowship. It's, hold on. I got it. It's right here. Stay calm. Carry on the conversation.
Carry on.
I'll be right back.
I put it in my calendar. I'm excited for it. So.
Oh, really?
Are you going to go?
I'm going to try to.
Can we go?
Yeah. It's open.
Open invitation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I see how many people shared it from TLC, and it's like.
Friendship Missionary. Dear God, I can't believe
it. I knew the word missionary was in it. There it is.
Yeah. Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Yeah. I can say this, A, because it's my podcast, and B, because everybody knows how I am. I'm the only white dude preaching that Sunday.
Let's go.
That service. So let's go. Pastor with Timothy May called me and invited me to be one of the 7 speakers. It's like, so it's each pastor has 11 minutes, and it's the 7 sayings of Christ before he died. So I have you know, one of them, and there'll be seven of us. So it's gonna be a great time. I'm excited for it.
Here's a question: Can you keep to 11 minutes?
I
can promise you this.
Shots fired.
Hey, I will. We made a bet. I'm gonna end on time at least one service this Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. And if he doesn't, he has to buy the whole staff ice cream.
That's right. That's right.
So that's happening. We're getting better.
Yeah,
we're,
we'll see.
We're getting.
It might happen. We don't know yet.
The other thing I would say is I'm probably the only pastor preaching at that service that is used to even preaching with a clock.
Oh, that's fair. You know, that's fair.
I think we're the only multi-service, you know what I mean, culture like that. So it's like if anyone's going to be flying over, it's probably not going to be me, but we'll see what happens. But no, I think it's going to be a good time. Unfortunately, we've kind of stacked some events for that day because Pastor Nan has the Israel thing. The Israel Initiative here at TC while I'm doing that. So we may, you know, there may be some pivots going on with that as far as the Israel Initiative. I don't know. We'll leave that up to him. But, it's been good. Speaking of, if you haven't, you know, I know for sure at least there's at least one more, which is March 10th, the Israel Initiative on March 10th here at TC. If you want to just know more about Israel and the Middle East conflict, the one from this past Sunday, March 3rd, was phenomenal. We have not decided if we're going to release the audio and video yet to the public, but it's such a good teaching because I think Christians need to know what's going on in the Middle East, and they need to know what the ramifications of what's happening in the United States are to the Middle East. So come March 10th, 6 o'clock p.m., Sunday, 6 o'clock
p.m. 6 or 6:30?
6. 6, okay. In the auditorium at TC if you want to check out more of what's going on and know more about Israel. So that's it, man. That's awesome. All we got. So Easter's coming. All attention on Easter. Teams are getting ready. Kyle and Chris and their teams can be tearing the auditorium apart in the next few weeks. New stage set up. So people don't realize they change that thing 3 times a year. So they change it for Easter, change it for Reframe, and change it for Christmas.
Takes a lot of work to do that too. So
yeah. So but we're blessed. You get blessed with a good team. Kyle and his team, they're all studs. And shout out to Chris Carty, coach of the production team. And Kyle's right hand man. You know, they're awesome. They're phenomenal. Chris Carty lives up here. He's probably here right now.
He's probably
in a hammock hanging somewhere in a closet. But yeah, so it's good, man. Other than that, we're rocking.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, Nate?
Yeah.
Playing golf tomorrow?
I am. It should be nice. Are you playing?
I am.
Oh, okay.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Are you playing?
I have a meeting tomorrow morning. Let me tell you my dilemma. I know. Let me tell you what's happened. Okay.
Rick's like, I got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to work tomorrow. While these two scrubs, you know, get to go play golf. So we went on our staff retreat, right? And it was amazing. Yeah. I loved getting the chance to hang out with everybody, stuff like that. My only issue was two things happened. Number one, I came back and I got deathly sick. I got freaking flu. Yeah. It was crazy. So I got the flu bug. Yeah. But then, thanks to my pastor, I got the golf bug. And so, what y'all don't know is that even Sunday, got home from church.
Oh, gosh.
And I went to Next Steps. And then I live right by a golf course.
Yep.
So I just went down and I went to the driving range. I bought two large buckets of balls and I just started practicing just so I can at least live up to what you guys do. And so, because right now I'm terrible.
So
I got this stupid bug just to play golf.
Listen, I'll tell everybody this. You can use Cypress Lakes because they're the least expensive. John does it there. Pay somebody. Pay the $100. It's $100 for 3 lessons. Pay it. Let him fix half the stuff you're doing wrong, and get ahead of the curve.
And please do it before you start to play, because then you're gonna create.
Because we know some people that don't do that.
It's
taking them longer than it should for them to get better than they're at. So I would do that if I were you.
What's his name?
John.
John. He works there at the guy? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think he runs Cypress. But
okay.
Yeah. So if anyone that's thinking about playing golf, go get 3 lessons.
From John.
From anybody, but John is good.
Yeah.
I keep slicing
to the left on my drive.
Yep.
And so I've watched a ton of YouTube videos.
For the rest of your life. Literally. Even pros.
Literally for the rest of your life.
It happens.
And the second you got it fixed, it's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God.
Oh, yeah.
So
my problem is that, and I'm sure you guys experience it, like I could play like trash. If I play 9 holes, The first seven play like trash. And then the last two holes are absolutely amazing. Yep. And I'm doing great shots. I'm like, I could go pro, like a Mexican Tiger Woods. I don't know. Yeah, and so, and then.
Little Tigre Woods.
But then like, and then I go back and play again and I'm trash all over again. And I'm just like, I hate this game. No, but then I love this game.
So I think that's the devil at work. Yeah, so he lets you be good for the last two holes so that you trick yourself into coming back and hating yourself for seven more holes.
Yeah,
so.
That's probably it. That's probably it.
But anyways, well, I'm glad you guys joined us. If anything that we talked about today made you think, I need to do more about this church, I need to check this place out, you can go to transformationchurch.com.
Yep.
Find out information there. At Transformation Pensacola on most social media outlets, including YouTube. So go have a look. You can even check out the message from this past Sunday where my wife absolutely killed the game and brought the house down. So all that to say, we're so glad you guys jumped on with us. Rick, thank you. Nate.
Thank you for having me.
Always an honor.
Nate, you're awesome.
Nate's like, we need to talk like podcasts more often. You guys have hyped me up more in the last 10 minutes than you have in the last 10 weeks. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Kyle, not seen, not heard, but definitely a part of the show. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do, man.
All right, you guys have a great week. We'll catch you next time for another week, another sermon, another message recap podcast.
Bye. Have a good day.
To breathe into my